We're going to hear our reading now from Romans chapter 15 that Amanda's going to bring to us, and then Mike will bring prayers after.
We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and, moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praise of your name. Again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points, to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit.
I think it's become fairly obvious what our topic is this morning that we're looking at. In this series of looking at the fruit of the Spirit, we're looking today at goodness. And in some ways, it's one of those words that you might think, well, yeah, okay. But on the other hand, when we look at, particularly as Mike was praying, it came to me thinking about what I see on the television, thinking about the terrible things that happen. You think, yes, we could do with a lot more goodness. Simply something that can make a difference. So what does Paul tell us about? How does Paul help us? He's hoping to visit Rome. As far as we know, at this time he'd never been there. He hadn't founded the church there. But he's going there because, he literally wanted to go there, then go on to Spain to preach. He ends up going as a captive, we know, but that's beside the point. He's writing to them, really to let them know about himself and what he teaches and all the rest of it. But he's writing into a particular setting, and it's worth just thinking a bit about that at the moment, I think. Because Rome was not just any old city. Rome was the capital of the Western world. It was full of people. It was bustling. It had tenements. You go to Rome now, you'll see them still there. People don't live in them anymore, but the old ones are still standing in many places. There would be memorials of all sorts of battles and so on around. It was a place of great wealth and of really powerful people. But at the same time, the vast majority of people would have been slaves who just had to serve the people with the power, and where life was really very, very cheap indeed. It was also a place where, as you looked around, you would have seen great art, amazing reproductions and carvings and so on and so forth. Great, astonishing buildings. You go there today, you go to the Pantheon, which is a church now, it was a temple. It's got a 48-metre single roof going across, made of concrete, would you believe? Astonishing thing. Great things they could do. But at the same time, it was one of the most debauched societies. Prostitution was normal. Girls were not considered very important. Often if people had a child, if it was a girl, they would go and expose it in the forum. Just leave it there. to die. What used to happen was that the madams from the various brothels would come pick the girls up and bring them up so they could be prostitutes. One of the ancient writers of the ancient world said that Rome was a place where the dregs of the world came. And he said the most big example of that is that a man could abandon his daughter as a child and then later on end up with her as a prostitute. That's bad, isn't it? That really is bad. That's the sort of place that Paul is writing to. But he's writing to people who found a different way, the way of Jesus. And he talks about them as actually being full of goodness. You yourselves are full of goodness. It's fascinating, really. This is not do-gooding. This is something much different. You know, we tend to use that phrase is sometimes used to disparage good things that are done. This is something much more powerful, much more significant. First of all, it's patterned on Jesus. Verses 2 to 4 make that pretty plain, where he talks about we should all please our neighbours for their good to build up. Even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insulted you have fallen on me. Jesus is the one that shows what goodness is really like. And it wasn't something that that was as it were, an add-on. It was him. It was what he was like. He would let insults fall on him. He would go to the cross, though he didn't deserve it. He would do it in the place of people who despised him and couldn't care enough about him. But his goodness in doing that just kept coming through. This arose from the fact that he was the Son of God. Something we always need to remember, that Jesus, yes, was incarnate, human, but he was God's Son. He was the Beloved One. And he drew all of this good stuff from the heart of God himself, with whom he was one. Important thing to bear in mind. So that meant that he put aside what pleased him. He didn't do what he wanted to do, but what was the right thing, the good thing. Remember him in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, let this pass from me. Father, let this cup go away. But if it's your will, then let it stay. That's goodness. It needs also some endurance. This is an interesting word in verse 5. It says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, that attitude being goodness. But that word endurance is an interesting one, because you could say it's stickability, or you could say it's patience on steroids. It's really strong sticking at something and not giving up. And when it comes to goodness, that's really quite important, because it's easy to give up, because you don't always get the right sort of reactions back, do you? And certainly, again, as we look at our news, as we've been praying and so on and so forth, there seems so little goodness. It would be easy to think, there's nothing that can be done about that. We might as well go with the flow. No, keep going on. What's actually prayed for is that endurance might be ours and that might stay. And what goodness also does, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Goodness is something that makes God big. Because at the end of the day, it's not us who are going to be able to do it, is it? It's going to be something of God that's going to work. It's going to be his life in us and around us. So goodness is something strong. It's something wholesome. It's got no side to it. It's not done in order to get something from somebody else. Goodness is something that just gives and gives and gives. In some parts of the Bible, the word is used that is translated generosity, because it has that angle to it as well. It really is something that flows away from itself and flows instead out towards other people. But then one other thing. This thing is powered by the Spirit. Now, I mean, we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, obviously, so we know this, but it's worth saying that again, that it's only as God is allowed to be active in our lives that real goodness can actually start happening and can flow from us. And there are certain ways in which it happens. Firstly, the power comes through prayer. Do you notice the prayers that Paul prays? May the God who gives endurance and encouragement. It starts in one verse. And then verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Prayer, our engagement with God, our resting on God, our dwelling in God, leads us into prayer that goodness might flow. And goodness gets activated, if you like, as we pray. Because, well, Paul prays for the Romans. That's what he's doing. He knows they're good, but he wants that to be even better. And he knows that seeking God, that God may pour out his reality and so on, is something that's important. And also, too, this power comes through hope. That's hope in God, truly. May the God who gives endurance and so on, may the God of hope fill you with all joy, that you'll overflow with the power of the Spirit. This is important, because in the ancient world that I was describing, Rome, there wasn't a lot of hope. There really wasn't. Particularly if you were a fairly ordinary person. There was very little hope. You just lived, you struggled, you died, and that was it. Really and truly, therefore, this prayer for hope, this prayer for a hope that would encourage, that would endure in them, was really very, very important. And it was something that was worth remembering, because goodness is not always rewarded. It's not always thought of as something wonderful. So there's got to be something beyond it, as it were, that gives us hope, that moves us in the direction of that which is good and so on. And that really is God. It's God's grace. It's a product of how God deals with us. And it's so important to remember how God deals with us. Mercy, grace, goodness, isn't it? That's how he deals with you and I. And the table that we'll celebrate the communion at, that reminds us so much of that. But Paul also says that this power comes through knowledge as well. I am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. So there's obviously a sense of knowledge, of understanding here, of an intellectual capacity to know God, to know about him, to know that God is good, for instance, because the gods of the Romans were anything but good. If you read any of the mythology of the ancient world, they're a right bunch of horrors, really and truly. They were just the worst of humanity, but projected up into the sky, as it were. They were really nasty people who were just like meddling around with people. It's important that they knew that's not what God's like. It's important that they had in their heads, if you like, a picture, an image of God, who was not sending thunderbolts down, who was not brooding over them to trip them up, but was a God who actually did love them. And that leads, therefore, to this knowledge was also a personal knowledge of God, of really knowing him in their hearts. It's sometimes said that the longest journey anyone can go on is from their head to their heart when it comes to understanding about God. And there's an awful lot of truth in that, isn't there? Particularly in our world, which is very intellectual and all this clever technical stuff, digital, this, that and the other, and AI, all the rest of it. But it's in the heart, that the heart being the centre of us as people, what we really are, how we react to God and how we react to other people. That's where Christ needs to dwell by faith, as we also read. And when that happens, then we are empowered to be people of goodness. Okay, let's just recap a bit. This is something that keeps on going. It's our closeness to Christ that enables us to show goodness, because the Spirit helps us in that. And Paul talks a lot about acceptance, and I think the important thing, remember they were a very diverse community in, as I've already said, in Rome. They would have had difficulty accepting one another. And also some were Jews, some were Gentiles, and they had different ways of worshipping. That would be difficult. And that's why he's saying you need to accept one another, because that's how Christ has dealt with you. With all that you are, that looks good, with all that you are that isn't good, that only you know about, but which troubles you in the night time sometimes, and when you're being really honest, worries you a lot, that person is the person Jesus has accepted. That person, the rotter, the failure, the miserable Herbert, whatever you want to say. That person's accepted by Christ because of what he's done on the cross. That transforms us when we understand that, really, doesn't it? But the point is, therefore, accept one another in the same ways. Let the goodness flow. Because of my love for you, then that love can go elsewhere. And that really is the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? I mean, in a sense, we've said, I think every preacher who's been preaching on this topic has said, actually the fruit is love, the rest is description. And that's right, it is. This is an aspect of love. But, how? I've got a bit of a thing about this, of preachers who tell us what we should be like and then don't tell us how to do it. So, alright, I'm going to try again. And I think, actually, the heart of it is simply in remembering. Now, this is what's going on here, isn't it, at the table? Jesus, when he instituted what we call the Last Supper or the Communion, he did it for a reason. And I think the reason is in when he said, do this in remembrance of me. And the reason he did that is because he knew we'd forget. You know, we are, aren't we? We're not very good, are we? We forget things so very, very easily. And the remembering, it's a crucial thing. The actual word that gets used is quite a strong word. It's sort of a re-remembering. It's a sort of an emphatic remembering. It's a thing you do. It's not just, oh, I remember that vaguely. It's an exercise, a spiritual exercise, if you like, in remembering. And I think as we do that, then God's life will grow in us because it's more and more apparent to us. So we're going to do a little bit of remembering now before we come to the table. We've done this sort of thing before. But what I want us to do is to look back over the last week or couple of weeks, looking for goodness. Where has goodness been shown to you? It may have been, you know, someone in the supermarket who said, oh, you can go in front down the checkout. Simple goodness. It may be somebody who found you in some need and expressed real help. It may have been, you know, your doctor showed goodness to you. A nurse was kind to you. Whatever. Or it may just have been in the family where people were particularly good, where they remembered your birthday or something like that, or didn't remember some bad thing you did, like Graham was talking about over there. Anything like that. So what we're going to do, we're just going to be still for a moment and seek to recall those things. And we'll ask God to help us so you will remember something, all right? Sometimes people say to me, oh, I can't remember anything. Well, I'm sorry, we're asking God to help. Now, if we ask that, he's going to do it, isn't he? Yes, Paul, is what you're supposed to say. All right, thank you. Yes, he will. So even if we find it, oh, what's going on? We'll just be still. We'll just be quiet. We'll remember those things of goodness. And let that begin to build thankfulness in us. Okay? So, all right, we're going to be quiet for a moment. So, mate, if you might want to fiddle around a bit, get comfy, because I usually do when I'm sitting. And just be still. Maybe take one or two deep breaths to just relax. Let your mind be open. Loving Lord God, we thank you for your great goodness to us shown in Jesus. Now we ask that your Holy Spirit will bring to mind those good things that have been done to us and for us. The goodness we've seen in people, the goodness we've known from you. Lord, take our minds now and help us as we look back, bring things to mind of your goodness and love. And as things come to mind, just perhaps ask yourself, what am I most grateful for? Maybe let some stand out really brightly. And let those thoughts, and that gratitude become very solid thanks to the living God. Lord Jesus, be the pattern for our lives. Holy Spirit, give us power to show the goodness that's at your heart. Loving Father God, may our worship of you be good and honour you. We ask in and through Jesus our Lord. Amen.